This is the Zodiac Degrees podcast. I'm Greta Lee. Today's degree is the 11th degree of Libra. The occasion for looking at this degree is Mercury and Mercury's upcoming retrograde. So right now, Mercury is in forward motion. And on September 6, 2021, which is the day of the new moon in Virgo, coincidentally, Mercury enters the shadow area or retro shade for its upcoming retrograde, which is to say that it arrives at 10 degrees of Libra, or in ordinal numbers, the 11th degree on September 6th. Then Mercury will travel all the way to 25 degrees of Libra, and it'll hit that degree on September 24th. It'll stay at that degree and then technically station retrograde on September 27th when it hits 25 degrees, 28 minutes. Then it'll head backwards in the sky from our vantage point, and Mercury returns to the 11th degree of Libra on October 16th, 2021. It'll station direct on October 18th, and it'll finally leave this degree in forward motion on October 21st, 2021. So September 6th is a little bit of like a foreshadow, or maybe a setup, or some sort of ping of some topic that'll be revisited between October 16th and the 21st. But also, let's just look at this degree separate from this transit, and this could be applied to any transit or natal chart or progression or any other astrological technique where focus on the degrees is important. So looking at the astrolabium planum, this woodcut image is interesting because it's the only image in the book that depicts a black man or somebody of a darker skin tone. When I'm hand drawing and gouaching in the different images, I've used a range of skin colors, but this is the only one that, like, in the black and white versions, expressly, like, depicts someone who is not of European origin. Or not entirely of European origin. He's standing in a field or space. He's got one hand down, one hand up. He's wearing sort of the typical clothes that other people in the book are wearing, but instead of the type of hats depicted, he's got a turban. So that makes me think North Africa or India or somewhere that I would imagine in that time they would think of as the Orient or the East or some sort of place that wasn't Italy. Now, it's an interesting, this piques my interest a lot, but also I just want to be careful not to project too much of like contemporary ethnic or racial thinking back onto 1495 or 1500 or whenever these images were illustrated. This is right when America was getting discovered, and it's before the sort of world-changing, world-destroying transatlantic slave trade. And that sort of up to then unprecedented international cruelty of chattel slavery of people from Africa being ripped apart from their homes, their homeland. And it's just, I'm not fully sure. I mean, I'm sure there was like bias and racism and prejudiced against people outside of any particular culture, as I'm sure it was, you know, it was harder to travel there. There was more local identity, and it's probably, but if these were made in like South Germany or Northern Italy, that was sort of a hub of cosmopolitan activity. So I'm sure there were lots of different types of people going through, and because of all the commerce and trading and culture there. So I'm not sure what sort of response would befall like a normal educated person back then. But let's go on to what the William Lilly translation of the caption is. And it says, "In the 11th degree, a man with black hands and face, but white feet." Okay, so I guess when I look again, I didn't really think that in the image, it looks like to me there's one black hand and one white hand. And then the like a black face, which is like, because of the crude nature of the wood print, it's none of the faces have all that many features, but this one even is a little bit more lost in the crudeness of the material. So this says it denotes an idle, dull, but unstable person. Okay, that's pretty negative. And so when I was looking at this translation, I thought immediately, I was like, oh, this seems like a Saturn signification, or Saturn is exalted in Libra. And I was sort of just scanning around on the page, on the William Lilly page of these Libra degrees. And because this is the first Libra degree I've like properly looked into systematically, I saw that some other degrees seemed like they had a lot of Saturn significations. And like the 29th degree is a woman, maybe she's an old woman standing, and that denotes an idle person. And the 30th, there's a hare or rabbit running out of the woods, and that says inconstant and unstable. So it seems like Saturn has a lot of sway here, as Venus must, because it's the ruler of this of Libra. But Saturn traditionally would denote people who are sort of more outsiders. Like a lot of times in medieval texts, they'll talk about Jewish people, or black people, anyone who, I suppose, if you're interpreting it from Baghdad or from, or from Paris or from Mexico City, whoever the outsider is, or a sort of ethnicity or race that's deemed lower class, would change relative to where you are in the world, especially back then. So I don't know if this I'm not really sure fully. I don't want to project too much. I know, so there's idle significations, unstable significations, and there's no racial depictions of all these other significations. I'm suspicious. I think there's probably bias at play, but I also don't want to overemphasize that and lose any other information we can get from this, based on sort of that hot button issue that sort of like immediately puts off the alarm bells for today, being like, oh no, is this going to be like a really like messed up sort of interpretation? Is this going to be depressing? Do I even want to go there? And yeah, I actually do want to investigate all of the degree images, no matter what it is. So let's go and let's see. Dr. Mark Edmund Jones, Libra 11th degree of Libra. And the Sabian symbol says, "A professor peering over his glasses." Okay. So he interprets this as high ego on personal side, naive self-confidence, an enabled individual, elected into a role of superiority, refinement of self, excellence and recognition, subordination of all considerations to immediate responsibility. Keyword, specialization. The positives are quiet mastery, insight, and depth of understanding. And negatives are a joy in depreciating others, compelling subservience. Okay. So, that's quite interesting. So there's an idea of these, of like a hierarchy, someone who's superior and someone who's recognized and excellent, and a type of person who might lord over others and depreciate others, like an arrogant professor. So I guess that's a sort of, there's all sorts of different professor archetypes or stereotypes. So that could be a type. I definitely met those in college. It definitely comes from real experiences. Okay, let's move on to Dane Rudyard's interpretation of the Sabian symbol. So I've been working from an astrological mandala for Dane Rudyard, but then I also just got Dane Rudyard's book, The Astrology of Personality, which was the first book that he put the Sabian symbols in. He asked Dr. Mark Edmund Jones permission to incorporate in his book. He was very excited about it. And Dr. Jones was like, yeah, great, spread the word on Sabian symbols. The Astrology of Personality has a lot more of a succinct description. And then later he published an astrological mandala where he expanded on those, on these images and sort of accordioned out the interpretation and got more into it and more like psychological and groovy and metaphysical for sure. So I'll read from the Astrology of Personality first. And it's a kindly old professor is teaching a class of youngsters. So it says cooperation of genuinely superior agencies with beings less evolved, glad willingness to assist and protect, kindliness. Okay. So instead of an arrogant professor, this one's a kind professor. And there's a genuine superiority. It's not just like an arrogance and a perceived or a self-inflated superiority. Someone does know more and is like further along in life than the others. And then in an astrological mandala, Dane Rudyard writes, a professor peering over his glasses at his students. And then his first line of interpretation basically says, not a sentimental, kind old professor. So I guess he edited this kindly part of it. So it says his eyes are strained from reading. He has to peer over his glasses to see his students. He's able to transfer vast sums of knowledge from the past to the young, who I guess will take it into the future. And the need to absorb so much book knowledge affects both his mind and his eyes. And in order to meet turbulent youth, he must look above his own knowledge and see them as human beings. So this speaks to intellectual acquisition. The keyword is instruction. And instruction, Rudyard points out, that is distinct from a concept of education. Education being like a broader idea, and instruction is like, I would think, more specific. Like you can teach someone about art and concepts about art, or you could teach them how to like wash their brushes and mix their paint. And that's instructing them. So yeah, I like the, this glasses, the glasses metaphor of peer of like, looking through the glasses and looking over the glasses, like, two perspectives. Okay, let's go forward to Linda Hill. And she says, a professor peering over his glasses at his students. Okay, same image. And her interpretation is ability / necessity of looking at people as humans and not through the lens of something learned from books. And as I wrote that note, I wrote also, or the internet. So I was just immediately thinking of especially all these like labels on the internet of like political, like you're not just like sort of like this type of politics or that like left or right. There's all these micro like loyalties now. It's like you're either a tanky or or an alt-right trad blah, blah. It's just like so hyper specific, the sort of identity politics, or even like the sort of Tumblr, the infamous like 5,000 and a million Tumblr gender expressions of all these like definitions that it's not even clear if anybody actually ascribes to them. And if you go meet people in real life and you start talking like that, it's just like really alienating to like talk about politics or gender or anything, or just trying to like fit the real life messy people into these like stupid, I mean, maybe they're like interesting to think about and they're actually intelligent in some way, but they come off as really stupid in other situations. Okay. Tangent. Okay. So Linda Hill says this is also about rational mind and intuition. And they require a different type of focus. See people for who they are. Build kinder relationships. So that sort of the fact that Dane Rudyard sort of edited out the kindly old professor, and this seems like more it's an imperative that maybe if this degree is being like activated, whoever is involved needs to be kinder. It's actually an order. it's something you need to do, not like an inherent, oh, you're kind. it's like, be nicer, be kinder. Right, so it says, drop the judgments. And it says, stop relying on science. Stop with the complicated codes of thought. Interrupt rationalism. I love this, like, stop relying on science. Because I just feel like science is such like a damaged art, like it's like when people employ it in arguments, it's just so they just pick whatever scientific theory or usually not even a theory, like some scientific piece of news that's completely devoid from context and the actual scientific method, and they use it to support their position, and they say believe science. So it's just like climate change is real, believe science. There's only two genders. That's what the science says. And it's just like, it's just like a like whenever someone's like believe science now, I'm just like, science isn't about belief. It's a rational thing. So maybe if you want to talk about belief, maybe talk about belief and not try and drag science into it. So just like dispense with that science and think about things in like maybe in an interpersonal way, be kind about it. Think about what's like good for people. And then it says, interrupt rationalism, realize intuition. Sometimes you feel like the professor and sometimes you feel like the student. Have the eyes to see each other. Different perceptions are necessary. different types of perceptions are necessary. See that others get the message. Right. So are you lecturing? Are you blathering on? Or are you communicating with an actual person? I think that's like another thing right now, as far as like echo chambers go, of people wanting to go online and sort of, you know, speak to people who just agree with them and be congratulated. And it's that whole thing. There's like a lecture porn sort of concept now, where someone will go on Twitter or YouTube and talk about like why feminism is important. And it's just like, who is this for? Is this for other people who already agree that with that? Or it's just like you're enjoying the way you're just enjoying like hearing yourself talk. And then so here I am now, I'm like reflecting on, I'm talking and I'm like, well, what is this for? I guess it's like a sort of selfish activity, but I was hoping that this would be giving, being sort of this like open research project where other people might, someone might find some of these books or some of this information useful to their separate astrology project. I don't know. Maybe I'm lecturing and blathering on. I'm not sure. Okay. I guess I won't get too far into the self-referential thing. Okay. It says observing others, glasses, lenses, giving advice, teachers, and the ability to read others. Yeah. The thing of like read the room. I'm thinking right now too of like the scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he's the really boring professor is just like droning on and people are falling asleep, and the teacher is not reading the room, is not getting anyone interested in the content. Okay. And so caution is ego, superiority complexes, and believing everyone is less than or unintelligent. Also thinking of that, there's like a meme from the Simpsons episode of Homer Simpson saying, everybody is stupid except me. And I think that's from the one where he skips church and then he like accidentally burns down Ned Flanders' house, or he like causes a fire basically because he's sleeping through church or burning down his own house. I forget which one it was, but this idea of like pride cometh before the fall, and if you think you're so smart, just wait, something will happen. But then yeah, so maybe you're being a little bit like Homer Simpson, you just think you're smart. And the distortion of perception or observation. So I was kind of talking about this before, like cherry picking data, like bad op-eds or think pieces, like, man, the proliferation of think pieces and op-eds and all this stuff on the internet. It's just like so many people, it's just that whole thing. It's like, assholes and opinions. Everyone's got one. Like, I just, do you think you're wise? Why is what you're saying any different than like 1,000 other people? And condescending behaviors or being bossy. Okay. So that's an interesting, I mean, there's like idle people, idle, dull, and unstable person is that William Lilly translation. And so what that it seems like it's the Sabian symbol is like completely the opposite of that. It's like someone who is smart or who thinks they're smart. Maybe it's someone who thinks they're smart but is actually dull, or someone who thinks they're smart and think other people are dull. But there's like that sort of dichotomy of being clever or being dumb. Okay. All right. Adriano Corelli says the 11th degree of Libra signifies outspoken dualism, Arcadian pastoral freedom of country life, or a shepherd's wandering. A shepherd in the sense of a pastor or a leader. Okay, that's interesting because professor and a pastor, like a minister, is a very related sort of thought leader of a group. Corelli also says, outside the fold, not a commoner. Someone who's either lordly or beastly. Super or subhuman. Divinely inspired or atavistically instinctive and cruel. Unlikely to be both, but also could have a self-contradictory, jumpy, and jerky nature. A sharp, bright mind, practical intuition, wide knowledge, which is contingent on social conditions. So a wide knowledge to people of different times and places probably meant different things. And so someone with wide knowledge, but that can be slow-witted in certain things. So, right, like I would think a specialist or, yeah, like a professor or researcher in, you know, biology might not know the first thing about, you know, music theory or popular music in general or anything. Cleverness that is actually cunning or hypocrisy. George Costanza, like I was thinking like George Costanza saying, it's not a lie if you believe it. So it's just like he's only clever in sort of a really unappealing or unadmirable way. I think the wide knowledge that has like a blind spot is interesting. It reminds me of that Upton Sinclair quote that says, it is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it. And I feel like that's one reason why so many op-eds are horrible, or like why the New York Times is just progressively worse and worse, because it's these like elitist people who went to the best schools and have all the privileges, and then they're trying to report on the world, and the world is becoming more and more chaotic. There's more and more disparity between the haves and have-nots, and there's a sort of party line that they are focusing on that they couldn't understand why Trump won. They promoted the Iraq war, just like the last 20 years of that sort of media class type person. They don't understand the damage that they're promoting, because if you're getting that fat paycheck, why would you risk your job by saying something that might get you fired? It's easier to just convince yourself that this stuff, all these blind spots, all these other people are stupid. All the red states are stupid, or all the middle America is stupid, rather than actually trying to respect people who have dramatically different opinions and perspectives. And I think the same would go, I mean, not to just pick on the New York Times, although they're a fun target, because it's not like you really feel bad for them, because they're like, you know, like I said, like it's a great job if you can get it. But I think there's a lot of, in any media, there's like a lack of empathy and a sort of like adherence to these intellectual, these intellectual structures, or this like theory of how the world works, rather than going out and actually like talking to people. I mean, and when they do go out and talk to people, it's always like the same format of interviewing people, that they're not even getting any data that would be different than that would be different than like what they already confirmed. It's just confirmation bias. Okay. I'm just ranting now because like, I'm just like, the media. I just have to say, I love the podcast, Citations Needed. They do really great media critique. So I'll just leave that to them for now. Okay. So, someone who is fond of hunting, horse riding, or strenuous sports. I feel like hunting and horse riding are very like elitist, activities. Although there's plenty of just like country people who like to ride horses. So it's in or hunt and stuff. So it's not fully, but thinking of like a professor type on a hunt would be like someone who teaches at Oxford and then does a fox hunt. And it says the ascendant of the United States, which just confuses me because I thought it was Sag. They were Sag rising, at least for the Sibley chart. There was like, I know, competing charts for the United States for different events. So I don't know which one is Libra rising, but somebody interprets it that way. Okay, so moving on to Kapayan, Kapajan, still don't know how to say it. Okay, the long first image they have. A half-dressed man with a black head and body, but white hands and feet, is running and trying to jump onto the hindquarters of a centaur who brandishes his bow in the right hand without the shooting arrow in his left. Okay, so here's a reference to the Astrolabium Planum, because the whole professor imagery is very different. Or like, maybe, I mean, I guess the man in the Astrolabium Planum could be a professor, or, you know, I don't, or thinking like maybe even like a shepherd. I'm just like picturing where someone would be wearing a turban, and I guess that there could be a lot of different lands in like further east from Italy or North Africa where there'd be like goat or sheep herding or something. And even just like thinking biblically of like the sort of imagery of of shepherds and the wise men all gathering around, like that sort of, they would be wearing turbans. I don't know. It's hard for me to like imagine the thoughts of whoever was the artist of this, because I guess I don't know if I don't think that Johannes Engel actually did the images. I feel like it would have been just like some guild member where he like sort of like the Rider Waite deck where it was like the author was technically Waite anyway, but then he got Pamela Colman Smith. Anyway, okay. So let's look. Kapayan's interpretation. Duality. So the black head, white hands and feet. It seems like very symbolic and maybe not even like exactly ethnicity or race related, and just like somebody like painted half white, half black. Duality, very important to consult whole chart to ascertain if the native will reach a high level of spiritual awareness or will live lowly bestial instincts. So this thing of being either like a professor or like a totally depraved individual who has like no connection to like the finer intellectual parts of life. The centaur, half horse, half man, has this also, like half white, half black, half horse, half man, like these two sort of, competing opposites, which is a very Libra thing of balancing these like two perspectives. These people must sublimate lower instincts. They must get base and root chakras under control. which kind of makes me think of like a professor who's like one of those like who preys on their students and is like a womanizer or something. It's like sleeping with a new student every semester. Or priests do that, like completely like prey on their followers, right? That are not as clever and sophisticated, and kind of fall into this like manipulation easily. So it asks, is the half dark figure trying to join or hinder the centaur? Is there a black magic, inner tension, an ambiguous person? And Libra brings ambivalence, takes ambivalence and transforms it into harmony. So white hands and feet symbolize purity. So this gets into that like unfortunate sort of historical tendency of like black is bad and white is good. Like, so black magic would be bad, but then white hands would be pure. So I'm trying to think of like this sort of like a better, like a more updated way to put it. Like, would purity be like wholesome and black magic? I mean, could be like, I guess that would be like more instinctual or like, subconscious or yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's always like kind of upsetting. I really like, there's like a lot of, people who like, who question, I mean, throughout history. I just remember like reading, I'm doing like a project in school and it's about Gwendolyn Brooks, who's a black poet in like the 50s and 60s. And she published a book on black paper with like white ink to be like, what, why is this a default? And that like, you know, there's like, why is like white the blank, like the default? And, you know, and it's like just questioning this like basic dualities of like light and dark, black and white, what what all the like associations are, and to sort of try and like break those associations a little bit. A strong Mars here will bring out sexual energy. I mean, I guess isn't that a Mars sort of anywhere? I guess different Marses in different positions will, like a Mars in Libra would definitely be more doing Mars things through Venusian means. Jupiter will emphasize right thinking or right philosophies. And Uranus will bring in the humane plane. I guess the Uranus and the association with like Aquarius and like humanity and in general. Okay. So Capion also interprets this as hypocrites. It just makes me think of George Costanza again. people who easily change their ideals, merchants and diplomats whose ideals are for sale, change with the wind, or the current ruler or political party. This person in the wood print is someone from a foreign land or foreign culture that isn't, you know, South Germany or Northern Italy. So it's someone who probably is a merchant, traveling, or a scholar visiting. I can't imagine. I mean, or maybe a pilgrim visiting holy sites. I mean, what are the reasons for traveling back then? Sort of probably similar to reasons for traveling now. Anyway, idealistic with original but short-lived plans that then fail and causes individuals to fall back into dark schemes. Wow. Okay. That's interesting. So someone has a sort of, they have their plans. They have their like professor-made theories and models of reality, and then they break them into that they bring them into practice and they immediately fail. And then they don't really have a backup to their really perfectly crafted ideas that don't do anything. So they just fall into like the worst of human behavior. I think that's really like accurate how a lot of high and mighty, like supposedly smart people operate. Want to be first in the, someone who wants to be first in the race, courageous, reckless, or idle and pedantic, destined to become more sympathetic. So yeah, thinking of the saying of like those that can't do teach, and or like someone like there's a saying about like art critics are legless men coaching running. And while there is like a kind of a beautiful thing of helping people get farther than you could achieve, there are, yeah, the whole thing of like someone who's pedantic and like does it, like they're idle. Yeah. Like they're so smart and perfect and good at everything, but they're not accomplishing anything. They're not doing anything. They're just criticizing people who are like, I actually have skin in the game or actually trying. They maybe aren't as like, don't have as much like, God-given intelligence, or, you know, they may not have the same SAT scores or pedigree or something, but at least people are doing something. So that's interesting. Parents, educators, horse breeders, or horse lovers. So I guess this is a horse girl degree if you're, sexual excess, unwanted pregnancy, imprecise, unfocused goals. The unwanted pregnancy thing is interesting. It's like this idea of something that then becomes like the reality of it is like, oh no, I can't actually, you fell in love with someone. And it's like, actually you can't like chain your life to them. That's a bad idea. And even though for like 5 minutes, it seemed like a great in theory, immature thinking. And if balance, if this degree is a balance in the chart, there's a happy nature and happy marriage. I mean, I can imagine if, this is a really positive degree in someone's part in chart, they could be really kind, really helpful, very intelligent, and a great teacher, great parent. But if it's negative, negatively afflicted, they might have to go through a lot of struggle to learn to be less arrogant, or learn to do and not just teach or escape the theories. All right, the secondary image, the Sabian symbol with the Capajon person, a kindly old professor is teaching a class of youngsters. Okay, here we have the kindness back. And it says, growing into a normal, kind old teacher, teaching young people of all races. This is like the only, I think, like interpretation with the race thing of like, which is interesting because it seems like Capajon's like looking at the Astrolabium Planum, which is not like referenced in a lot of these books, even though it seems like the earliest text that I can find other than a Dress of the Stars, which is incomplete, but a far earlier text in the, Alphonse the Wise, also earlier than, but the earliest complete text about, degrees that I can find. Okay. So becoming worthy of being listened to or followed, cooperation, goodwill, still learning about parts of your mind, advancing far enough to sit still and listen, become amiable, wise, and balanced. Okay, those are the goals. Okay, moving on to Donna Walter Henson, says electricians, Okay. And favors the work in movies or showbiz. I mean, who doesn't? If I guess if you got a job in a movie, you'd do it. It's hard to break into that industry sometimes. Interested in child welfare. Professor? Okay. Hygiene of or social service. So beyond, so interested in child welfare, hygiene, or social service. So that's beyond just being a professor or a teacher. It's helping younger people in general. And that could be like a social worker or somebody working in like institutions that help children in general. And let's see, it says jaundice of the kidney and the renal pelvis. Some of this is the Donna Walter Henson. I love that it has, it like veers into medical astrology, but I often feel like it's a little bit outside, I feel like I have limited other resources in my memory to like, to compare that info with. Okay. E.C. Matthews, says progressive and interested in child welfare, hygiene, or social service. So I'm thinking of a progressive of like the, early 20th century type who were stopping like child labor and, promoting universal education. I think that this degree in October 2021 is really going to be speaking a lot to these debates about the schools in like the age of COVID, and people saying we have to protect kids from, you know, spreading and getting these diseases, and there's other people saying like, what's the point of education if you're like masked up and you can't interact with people or stand near them? And so there's like a lot of debates over what is good for kids, what is safe and hygienic for the kids, what sort of strategies, and there's people definitely who can't see the perspectives of either side. They can't even see like, you'd be like, why would you ever put a kid in a mask? And it's like, well, so they don't get sick and die or kill someone. And then it's like, why wouldn't you get vaccinated? It's like, well, you know, there's other, they're not necessarily like idiots. Because they're questioning this like rushed vaccine, you know, like just have a modicum of compassion for someone that you might disagree with. As things like people are, I guess, trying, I mean, but then there's all these sorts of like bad faith arguments that are just, okay, just the slime of like the discourse, just reaching into my nice little podcast. I'll stop myself. Okay. Esther Leinbach, says, isolation leading to misunderstanding. Wow. That's another really huge, like a huge sort of, especially this like Mercury is hitting these degrees, like these, people are so isolated and they isolate themselves actively. And then also like not even of their own volition, people are like living in regions or social circles that they just like don't encounter other types of people sometimes, or don't encounter anybody, which is very sad. All right. Preoccupation with base existence, or preoccupation with underworld subculture. So that's interesting. It makes me think of like all the, like in the last like 10 years, like so many academics love like S&M. And it just makes it like so not edgy and not cool and exciting. And it's just like, oh, okay, is this like their sociological field that is cool now? Okay, so looking at underworld subcultures through sociological study, fieldwork, personal involvement, that's also like making me think of some like professor that like goes out to study like tribal people somewhere, and then they just like drop out and join the tribe because they're like, this is better. even though it's just like the people there are probably like, why are they here? But okay, cool. You can come to our like party, or you can come have dinner with us. It's fine. So involvement forced by circumstances or simple fascination. Work of a scavenger prefers isolation to having to explain the focus of his or her pursuits or studies. Right. So if somebody, you know, has some sort of like they're a linguist or some sort of hyper-specific research and they're at some like party, they might not want to just like bring, just like tell, have to explain to everybody what they're doing because it's like so esoteric, and they might just like have some sort of other answer like, oh, you know, I'm a teacher. I teach, you know, like, and just a blander answer, and just like isolate communicating their actual interests. Deep-seated inferiority, which I think is like a big like reason why people will like, you know, reach for excellence in any field. There's like a feeling that they need to prove themselves. Which is like, you know, relatable for anybody. Interest in downtrodden, outcast, or undesirable elements. So instinctive altruism. So there's like an interest in outcasts. Like there could be somebody who's like studying homelessness, and they're sneering at the social problems, and they're working like isolated in their office and trying to just like be a policy wonk and fix it through their intellect. And then there could actually be people who go to homeless shelters, talk to people, and try and actually help them. So what kind of involvement is there? Inferiority complex hinders efforts. It leads to negative impression, suffering, severe criticism. So somebody who can't make friends because they're too worried about being isolated. It's sort of this like self-fulfilling prophecy of like a negative spiral, suffering severe criticism, imprisonment, being forcibly restrained. Ooh, I mean, the forcibly restrained thing makes me think of like getting pulled away in a straitjacket or something. And then thinking of like a mental hospital or like an institution like that. And I feel like, this is like a kind of Foucault sort of critique, I guess, but they're like education institutions are just, I mean, they're just like on the spectrum of like jails and hospitals and prisons. It's just like people are like, oh man, like schools are just prisons for kids or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, if you can't make do in the school, they'll send you to juvie, you know? And if you can't make do there, you'll end up in like adult prisons or like mental hospitals. And it's like, it's just like the idea is to try to be, participate in institutions in a way that doesn't give your power over to them, right? And sort of get yourself a better place in the world. Or, you know, or maybe you need to be in a hospital and that's like fine. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, or not fine, depending on the hospital, I suppose. Okay, let's look at Charitable, 11th degree of Libra. An ancient shepherd with crook in hand, standing in the midst of his flock. And it's interpreted as one of great sagacity. And of course, I had to look up sagacity. So sagacious means having or showing mental discernment and good judgment, shrewd. Wise, clever, intelligent, knowledgeable, and love for rural life. So yeah, thinking about the shepherd who needs to be looking out at all the flock and be like, oh no, this one's going to fall, and sort of be mentally alert. And it also makes me think of this love for rural life makes me think of like the idyllic pastoral, like quintessential college campus. So like I live in New England, and there's like Amherst College was designed by Olmsted, the landscape architect who designed Central Park and I think Golden Gate Park and a lot of like really beloved natural parks, and like Amherst College being this very beautiful campus and a lot of campuses sort of being of a similar sort of like large open fields with like Adirondack chairs or like little patios where kids can like talk, gather and like talk about high ideals or whatever. And that being this like beautiful rural setting that is very expensive and idyllic. And then also these like idyllic settings for especially I would say like Northeast educational institutions are also connected to this like sort of ideological hegemony or sort of dominance of like sort of like a school like Harvard or Yale or Dartmouth. I mean, a lot of these early institutions that have a sort of like pastoral element to it also have a sort of that whole professor archetype of intellectual superiority, which should be sort of making the world a better place hypothetically and like contributing to human endeavors, but often is just like sort of people are there like leveraging their superior position being very snooty and not really contributing to society and just like kind of like doing this like navel-gazing intellectual like activities with just like a select group in a nice little park-like area. So that sort of, okay. And the shepherd. So I like how the shepherd would be kind of connected with that. Okay. And it also says that this is the only degree in the charitable interpretation. It says this is the only degree in Libra that tends to adapt a person for an ordinary earthly life and furnishes him with this world's wisdom. And that makes me think of this Saturn exalted here of being like refined and intelligent, but being able to bring that into a very realistic, like ordinary, mundane arena and trying to actually bring this intelligence to help people who are, you know, working menial labor and helping everybody. And this says this person should reside amid mountain scenery and should deal in sheep and cattle. Okay, so I love when there's some sort of clear advice. So like say you have like your son's at 11th degree of Libra or North Node or some other like important piece of your chart, like chart ruler or anything. So here's some like clear advice. Like go to a mountain, go on vacation to a mountain or move to a mountainous area or maybe get a job with sheep or cattle or even just like visit a farm or a ranch or somewhere where sheep are and like see how it feels, see what it brings you. That's I think like an interesting task. So go for it. also this like makes me think of this movie called it's like a documentary called Sweetgrass. I saw it on Criterion Collection last year. I don't know if it's still streaming Criterion or what the streaming deal is, but Sweetgrass, it was made in 2009 and it's by Alicia Barbash and Lucien Castang Taylor. And it's like, it depicts one of the last sheep drives in Montana into like Montana mountains of these like cowboys with all this huge group of sheep just like driving them up these just like beautiful like fields of grass, like on the edges of mountains, like is just like just a beautiful, beautiful movie. And it's just like, it's also just like, whatever, I could talk about that movie, but recommend that movie. Okay. Sepharial, 11th degree of Libra. So Sepharial says, a centaur, half man, half horse, armed with a bow and arrow. Okay, so kind of like the copy on image. And it says, a subtle, changeful nature simulates virtues and vices of others because of diplomacy. Alternately impelled to high endeavors or debasing instinctive activities. Alternation. So that makes me think of someone who's like, yeah, like a priest or like a minister or pastor who then goes to a different city and like goes on this like sort of binge of like, you know, like visits a prostitute and like drinks and stuff because they're just like so repressed and they have to just like get out of town and like do their like, you know, sort of meet their libido and meet that sort of other parts of themselves that they're repressing. Or even like, I have to say, like, some of the smartest people I know will just like want to watch like just some dumb TV to just relax. And we'll even like, I think people will be like, oh, like know a lot about art or know a lot about science or something. And they'll just like want something stupid as like just to like balance it out and just want to have some dumb pleasures elsewhere in the world. Doesn't have to be necessarily like, you know, so titillating as like, you know, going crazy with like sex and drugs or something. It could just be like, you know, I just want to watch, you know, like Real Housewives, or like, you know, I just want to watch this dumb sitcom on repeat and not like watch a fine art movie when I'm relaxing. Also, the Sepharial degree says father will be unknown or die early. So that sort of like, I'm thinking of like the father figure, like the professor or the shepherd sort of being this like father figure, like a sort of foster parent or a step parent or someone who like steps in as a father figure or parent figure, for someone who's lost their, you know, birth father or lost their whatever father from like early childhood. So that, I wonder if that's a, that's gotta be a showing up in some of the life histories of people, of natives with this, in their natal chart. Hey, Martin Goldsmith. It says, an art history teacher projects a slide of a colorful bacchanalia, pulling down his bifocals. He points out some of the picture's funny sexual antics. So this is interpreted as turning others on to one's field of study by making it gossipy, humorous, and full of unexpected lore, which is like totally the opposite of like the pedantic, dry, Ferris Bueller type of boring teacher. Introducing others to personally significant works of art, sensitive to visual symbols, analyzing different levels of meaning, shifting focus from reason to passion. So I love that sort of the shifting focus, like that glasses image, or like looking through the glasses above the glasses, or like a bifocal type of thing. Looking at human foibles in a tolerant way. The human, like looking at people like there's a human zoo, or there's libertinism, but having fun with it rather than being judgmental. Breaking down barriers by valuing everyone's contribution, and taking the myth out of art. Art is something we can value, devalue. We can create it as we choose, rather than being this like holy, unimpeachable, sort of thing we admire. We can debate it, and everyone's perspective can interact with art. Uninhibited artistic efforts, catalyzing enlightening discussions through provocative observations and challenging art. So yeah, this seems like a great sort of depiction of a class that might be interesting, versus a dry, pedantic, judgmental, hierarchical, elitist professor of like someone who's like trying to like pull you in by being like, hey, I have a little side knowledge, making a little bit gossipy and humorous. I feel like Libras can really like perfect the art of like gossip and the art of the sort of personal like side conversation. I think that like also, like I feel like there'll be like moralistic people who say like gossip is horrible. And I just feel like that's like, gossip can be really like toxic and horrible, but it can also just be like lighter, and it doesn't have to necessarily be so, you know, it's just like, oh, I have some inside info, and it could just be like fun, a more fun and like saucy way to convey information. Which is sort of that, like, there's that Saturnian, like, oh, here's some high art or some historical information, but then the Venus comes in and it's like, well, here's some juice to it. Here's some sex. Here's some like, some fun parts of it. Okay, John Sandbach, the Chandra symbols. Tea leaves that form a pentagram, which means perception of meaning in the seeming randomness of life, realizing the vitality of spontaneity. And then Elias Lonsdale talks about destiny openings, entering a fresh direction, encouragement, empowerment, protection, and guidance, following inner instincts, the start of something big, granted to make mistakes, make a fool of yourself and still do astounding things. So I love this sort of... more of this focus on the student element, I feel like, of this interpretation of like you're going to make mistakes, you're going to be a fool, but you know, there's someone to encourage you, there's someone to help you along your way, guide you, protect you, and that's what a teacher really should be doing. Okay, then there's the McClung Hyperion symbol. And this image is a tall Hasidim at the Wailing Wall. And it says, traditions deserve respect, historical dedication of adherence to tradition, steadfastness, and sympathy for humanity, the Wailing Wall. So there's a sort of emotional outpouring. Keyword, longing, desire for something. Okay, keyword is longing. And there's a desire for something difficult, something that's difficult to attain despite having encouragement and support. It's still difficult. Like it can be really hard to get through certain classes. It can be hard to get through school. you have help, but you know, not everyone makes it through through their whole every class. Okay. That's and so Alphonse the Wise, this document, we have a man praying ascends in the 11th degree. Who is born in this degree will be rich and devoted to the good. Okay, someone praying. Now let's move on to, so we do have an address of the stars image. And I feel like this is connected to the Alphonse the Wise and also to the Sabian symbol. It says, 11th degree of Libra. Okay, it's a picture. So I'll post this picture on the Patreon. It's a man known for piety, but the picture is this guy, this man with like a beard and a turban, although like almost everybody in these images are wearing turbans. So the connection to the Astrolabium Planum might not be a connection, but he's in this like beautiful room. There's a Persian carpet. There's ornamental walls. It looks like, you know, and he's on the sitting on the ground on the carpet, and he's reading a book, and it looks like there's two other books or folios or papers or something next to him on the ground. And this little, I feel like it's like, I don't know if it's like a little thing of ink, like a thing that pours out ink, or like a tea or something. I don't know. There's this like little object next to him that I'm not really sure what it is. And so it says a man known for piety, and a magic ritual done at this degree is for bliss and happiness. So I love that there's a man studying a book and he's known for piety. And so I'm thinking of the professor or the pastor or someone who has a lot of like book knowledge. And that I like that this also has, you know, a happy sort of result, that getting through the arrogance, the snobbery, the dealing with sublimating your lower instincts, or like expressing them healthily and not just cutting them off or looking at them negatively, really you can be really happy if you like deal with this Libran balance. Okay, so let's move on to looking at people who have 11th degree of Libra prominently in their chart. So for the Sun, there's three people, there's, you know, a lot of people, but there's three people who stand up to me as far as the imagery of this degree for the Sun. The first is Buster Keaton, who has the Sun there and then Mars close by. And I just the movie that comes to mind is The Cameraman, which is like a complete masterpiece. Like, I remember before I watched it, I thought, oh, it's a silent movie. Is this going to be like dull and sort of like, oh, it's good for its time? It's like, it's still super entertaining, and it's like beautiful and moving. It's this great movie, and it's about a guy who's trying to get a job as a cameraman for like newsreels, and he's carrying around his camera, and it just makes me think of the whole perspective of looking through the lens and looking above the lens. So it's like what he's going to capture, him setting up shots, like the choreography or the cinematography in this movie is beautiful. But then it's also his life outside of looking through. It's like he's, you know, in love with this girl and this and that, and like, it's a great movie. Buster Keaton's definitely a master. Also Al Sharpton, who's a very famous Baptist preacher, I believe, and like a political leader, and is sort of, I don't know if I'd really call him a professor type, but he's sort of it. He's a thought leader for sure. And also someone who is very interesting is Jean Millet, or Jean-Francois Millet, who is a 19th century French painter in the Barbizon school. And he literally painted like scenes of like shepherds, but also like farmers and peasants and sort of in rural life in France. Also there's, you know, there's like Gwen Stefani, who had who has a ninth house Libra stellium, ASAP Rocky, Susan Sarandon, who also is like, I think becoming a more of like an ideological leader, and over the past few years gone to a lot of protests and been like a leftist icon. Clive Owen, Charlton Heston, who played Moses. That's like a Steve Reich, the composer. People who had the moon at the 11th degree of Libra are Catherine de Medici, who's a queen of France from the Medici family in the 1500s. Also, Antoni Gaudi, who is one of my favorite architects, you know, a very unique architect from Spain, from actually Barcelona area, or like Catalan. And he's known for his Sagrada Familia. And just looking at like the Wikipedia, it's like Gaudi's work was influenced by his passions in life, architecture, nature, and religion. So here he has these like monuments to these natural structures, these like beautiful arches and structures that evoke more like caves or natural forms or plant life, more than just like modern boxes or whatever sort of horrible, sad modern architecture most cities are filled with. He has a lot of like curves, like undulations, and that sort of not just as like a pretty unique natural phenomenon, but as like an idea that's like high-minded idea. And interestingly enough, also with the moon at 11th degree of Libra is Gustave Eiffel. So not an architect per se, but a structural engineer. I mean, I guess he was an architect too. He famous, of course, for the Eiffel Tower. And he also built the armature for the Statue of Liberty. And these are just like symbols of this higher mindedness, the Eiffel Tower of like France as this like liberatory free country. And then they give the Statue of Liberty as a symbol to the United States of like, we are these two countries that value freedom. And that's the sort of like professorial, like, or religious, higher mindedness. So that's really interesting that like two people who built in the sort of like the moon is here. So, I mean, Gaudi, the Sagrada Familia, the fact that his moon is there, but also Gustave Eiffel, that like the Eiffel Tower was supposed to be temporary and a lot of people didn't like it and thought it was like horrible and modern and garish, but it became a symbol of the country, of his like homeland. And also the Statue of Liberty, a symbol of a land people can arrive to and call home. So that moon and home connection there, but also in the Libran of like this idea of like fairness and equality. And then this degree in particular with this higher mindedness. Also, a French professor who was interested in like spiritism and sort of metaphysics named Alan Kardec. I was on the lookout for professors. I feel like I would have to do it my own, like a different research, like the professors and teachers don't tend to come up as like the most famous type of people. So I'd have to do, it would actually be an interesting research project to see what sort of like astrological patterns and degrees might be prominent for educators. It might be different within different different groups and societies too. Also, Moon at this degree is a Richard Simmons, like the fitness person, TV personality, whose Moon is conjunct Ascendant and Neptune. And then the Moon also rules Cancer, Sun, Mercury, and MC. So very Moon-oriented person and a very sweet person. And then the Moon on the Ascendant of like very much this Moon representing the body here on the Ascendant. And the Neptune being this like showbiz sort of compassionate attitude towards people's bodies, where Richard Simmons isn't like the CrossFit sort of gym bro, but he's like a very sweet, caring, Cancerian approach of making your body look and feel better in like this Libran way. And he is teaching fitness and sort of this. He is definitely a kind teacher, a kind leader. So that's a great example of somebody. I totally didn't expect him to come up. It's always great looking at these. Also, Bob Newhart, whose Moon is conjunct Mars and Mercury. That's all in the 12th house. So Bob Newhart, a comedian who depicted sort of like kind and patient therapist or psychologist or whatever. So that's sort of this learned, like someone with a degree, someone who's helping their patients or helping someone who's doesn't have all the information or insight. So that sort of, again, a balance between intellectual accomplishment and empathy or kindness. Mercury at the 11th degree of Libra. The most interesting person I found here was the writer Ursula Le Guin, who is a science fiction and fantasy writer who has like a whole like huge list of great books to read or that she wrote. She's just like super accomplished, amazing. Some stuff for like young adults, but also some like quote unquote like adult literature. I've read two of her books. Well, I read The Wizard of Earthsea, and which is great. But then the first book I read, I think maybe her most famous book, or I think it is, I'm not sure, is The Lathe of Heaven. And that book's incredible. I read it in high school and it like blew my mind. I was, you know, looking at it, like I Googled it again just to be like, oh yeah, that book is so great. And she's a great writer and I should read some other stuff. And I didn't remember this or I don't know this, but I guess it's in an epigraph to one of the chapters in the novel, but the title, The Lathe of Heaven, comes from the writings of Chuang Tzu. And the quote that this book comes from says, to let understanding stop at what cannot be understood is high attainment. Those who cannot do it will be destroyed on the lathe of heaven. I mean, so how beautiful is that idea? This book is incredible. It's a science fiction masterpiece. And even if you're not into sci-fi, it's just like, it's a really good book to read. And, that fits this degree perfectly of this. There's a lot of intellectual understanding and that's high attainment. But there's a point where that knowledge is not useful and it'll destroy you. Actually, you have to put the knowledge aside and be kind or just give yourself over to the way, the natural way of the world, and go enjoy a field, sit in a field, tend to the flock, tend to your, garden, or whatever the sort of like natural, interaction, with the world is. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Also with Mercury here is, two people that stand out are Bob Odenkirk and Norm Macdonald, which are sort of interesting because they're both like comedians and writers. And they're both sort of arrogant, like especially I know like Norm Macdonald, I think famously got fired from SNL because like the suits didn't like him because he's like too sarcastic and too kind of sneering and not nice enough, although he's really funny. And Bob Odenkirk, also, you know, heard stories about him. He is a very serious, intelligent writer. And I think hearing stories, he was not necessarily a nice guy or a guy who's looking to make friends. And I think as he's got older, he's probably become more kind. And, you know, once you have kids and sort of wanting a gentler world, but he's kind of a jerk. So that sort of archetype of the professor who thinks they're smarter and better than anybody, but sort of hits a point where he realizes like, well, you get fired for it, actually, you like eventually realize that you should be a little nicer. It's not just about how smart you are and how you have, especially that Mercury there. So I wonder if these guys will have anything be prominent during this Mercury retrograde. Also, Kieran Culkin and Catherine Zeta-Jones, who I mean, I think they're also very sharp mind, but I'm not exactly sure how that applies. And Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, who like famously he's Republican, but he like gave Obama a hug and then he tried to work for Trump and Trump just sort of screwed him over. And it was like really depressing, but it was also like to see him, but it was also like, yeah, what do you expect? And so that seems like there was that signification of someone whose loyalties are sort of for sale. And so that, or like, you know, whoever's in power, he'll hug Obama or Trump. And it is a little bit like, you know, not a lot of integrity there. Venus, let's see who has Venus. Lord, the pop star, has Venus in her 10th house conjunct the North Node. Also Phoebe Bridgers, another pop star, and Meatloaf, a totally different type of pop star, but, you know, great, three great songwriters, singers. H.P. Lovecraft has this Venus, which is about 3 degrees above the ascendant, and co-present with the moon conjunct Uranus, which is also in Libra for him. So I think he is like famously a writer who people say, oh, he's, you know, he's like racist, and which is, I feel like, a way of being hierarchical and more feeling like you're more important than other people. And then people also saying, well, he was just like of his time. It wasn't like he wasn't spectacularly racist compared to other people of his times. But he's a writer who wasn't really a student of human interaction as much as he was really just into his own thought forms, his thought structure of like Cthulhu or however you say that. And especially a lot of like architectural descriptions and these horror sort of descriptions, and definitely a very intelligent guy. But within his art, I think with among contemporaries, he was like a nice guy. But within his art, he didn't really have a lot of compassion for human emotional experience. It wasn't about kindness. It was about the sort of primordial horror. And that sort of, that imagery with the centaur and someone who's like half dark, half light, and that sort of like that underbelly of primordial human fear. He really talks about, in his works. I don't know them that well. That's just like generally the sort of what I've picked up about his work from paying attention in the world. And also Guy Ritchie, the director of the movie Snatch and a lot of other movies here, movies like Lockspock and Three Smoking Barrels. But Snatch definitely... remembering like a sort of underworld, it's a very intelligent movie, with a lot of working parts, a very like beautifully crafted, it has like that Libra beauty element and the Saturn, like well planned out, all the shots are incredibly executed. But also it's about this sort of like underworld crime stuff, rather than the H.P. Lovecraft, like underworld, like, I don't know, like monstrous, like psychological beasts or, lords, like talking about like dark feelings or whatever. I don't know her work that well, but, as I'm sure I feel like she's like more goth and like talking about like hard feelings in an empathetic way. Also, Venus at this degree, was Joseph Goebbels, who is the Nazi propaganda minister. So that is pretty gross. I mean, he is like promoting definitely the most like egregious form of hierarchies and certain people being superior than others that some of the worst examples of that. And like, and Venus, like being here in Libra this is its domicile. So all of these are this is a very strong Venus. So the Nazi film program was very strong, right? I mean, a lot of great directors fled Nazi Germany and we got all these great, Hollywood directors from the sort of exodus from Europe. But they had a great film program. It was technically good art in a certain way, like the well-made films, but like, just for the worst reasons. And like this, and also the most unkind reasons. Like, I'm sure that like rationally, all of their arguments made sense in some sort of logical way, but just like the gross, disgusting anti-Semitism, racism, all that stuff being just like fundamentally unkind. It's like, how could you ever make, no matter how tight your argument is shit. You know, it's just like, indefensible. Logic and art doesn't always lead to good places. And sometimes it does. Sometimes you get a lord or a Guy Ritchie or Phoebe Bridgers, someone who's really, makes great art. And sometimes you make, yeah, but it can be either way. Okay. Mars. Who has Mars? So this is where we were just talking about Venus and its domicile. And so now not in its fall here, but it's in like its exile or its detriment in Libra. It prefers to be in Aries, across a zodiac or Scorpio. But Mars at Libra, the 11th degree of Libra, we have Bill Gates. So I just think about how he... has a horrible destructive ego, that he sort of pushes his will around through his Libran stacks of money. And also his attempts at social engineering where he's, trying to So earlier when he was like the head of Microsoft, Bill Gates was infamous for hostile takeovers of other companies and just like building up this monopoly and just destroying people's livelihoods, destroying people's way of making money. I'm sure that he made a lot of payoffs too, but I think he was underhanded and screwed over a lot of people. So this sort of ravenous acquisition, and he is very smart, right? He's a great computer programmer, a great businessman. So he's like using his intelligence to like as an advantage to, and is being unkind with it. I think also that what I was saying about like social engineering was thinking was a Libra and this thing with it came up in this degree with the hygiene of children, the welfare of children. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation really pushes for like this vaccinations and public health, which on its surface is a good thing, except in COVID, has he really helped or has he just gotten his ego in the way as trying to be the most important guy in vaccines? I don't think he proved himself as really doing that much more good than any other organization. He also went through a prominent divorce, and he was likely involved with Jeffrey Epstein. And so this Mars thing of like, instead of being a kind father figure, he was sexually exploiting young women who he should be giving jobs, protecting them, putting them in empowered positions, and instead is degrading people who are financially lower, or, you know, especially in his mind, I'm sure, but in a disadvantaged position to him. I also have to say, Bill Gates owns a lot of media. So if you've read anything positive about Bill Gates, he likely paid for that, which I feel like is another, like, just like this Libra thing of like paying for your ego to be spread. Quite a villain. Eminem has his Mars here. So he's someone who expresses his aggression through art and has also often been criticized for his aggression towards like women and his like ex-girlfriends in his art. I don't know how much, I guess I don't know how much that plays out in his real life. Like I would never say like you shouldn't express these feelings in art because it's art. It's actually, you should bring your feelings there and maybe not be abusive to your girlfriend in real life or wife. Although there's probably some bleed over there. Catherine Duchess of Cambridge. So, like the chick that married William, she has her Mars here. So, another person who sort of, I would say instead of like ego money connection, I would say there's like a sex money connection, but, I don't know. I don't know she seems like sort of like a bland person to me, which is what they want you to think of them. I don't, Malala Yousafzai. I'm always bungling her last name because she's just like, I am Malala. So Malala Yousafzai, I'm not even going to try now. Okay, so she has Mars in Libra and the moon is like a degree off. So she has this like Mars moon conjunction. And here's someone who's very associated with education and instruction and then violence related to education. She was shot while going to school and her body was injured because she was trying to get an education or instruction going to class. Now she was a student. Oh, I think she still is a student, but now she's studying in England, in like Cambridge. And I think that she had that book, so she's already teaching people about her experience. I would expect her to go be like a sort of, you know, professor or ideological leader. I would expect that to like continue further in her life. We'll see. We have Ethan Hawke has his Mars here, conjunct Uranus. I'm thinking about the movie Training Day, which is like one of the best movies of all time with Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington. And he's sort of this like student, he's this rookie cop who has this training and he is being taught by this like, by Denzel Washington, this like older, like corrupt cop. And the, especially the Uranus there where it's like everything shocking, everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong in that day. And it's just such a funny movie, but also really exciting. So that sort of, that student teacher relationship, but with like a dash of with Mars there being, it's like danger and guns and also Uranus, which is like surprises. Also Pele, the Brazilian soccer star who, also is a huge advocate for the poor and for, you know, people. So here is like a positive iteration of Mars and Libra, that he's an advocate for people who need more money and need more education and resources and social institutions and such. Mars, this is the Mars and Libra is so interesting. Also Ingmar Bergman, the director of The Seventh Seal and lots of classic movies. And that's conjunct Black Moon Lilith there. So to think of the really sort of dark undertones in like the family dynamics and the social dynamics. I'm thinking of Scenes from a Marriage where there's, it's just really getting in like the complexity of human behavior. So this would be a professor looking above his glasses and actually looking at how people are behaving and sort of investigating what's kind and what's intelligent and correct versus what should you do. Cyrano de Bergerac, the actual person, George Bataille, who definitely was connected to that sort of bestial, sexual, violent nature, and also was an aristocrat and sort of these like connected to hierarchies and just wrote so many books, The Story of the Eye, lots of literature and letters and like, you know, essays and theories and so that higher mind, but also the base like lower instincts. And Jean Dubuffet, French painter, very instinctual painter. So bringing those instincts into a fine, almost like intellectual field of painting, was also like very refined and analyzed and celebrated in institutions. But he brought this sort of like childlike or animal impulse to it. And John Hughes, the director of like all those, the Brat Pack movies. So John Hughes, Mars there, the drama and conflict among students. So like The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, these are the young students and like what their trials and tribulations are learning to get through the world. Okay, moving on to Mars is fun, I guess. A lot of interesting people. We have Jupiter in we have let's see, we have Justin Timberlake, Alicia Keys, Elijah Wood, some people who I say, especially Justin Timberlake, Alicia Keys, like a huge aesthetic aesthetic influence. Also, Eisenstein. I forget. I'm not being quick with the Russian pronunciations here, but he had a grand air trine. So Eisenstein, like the director of Battleship Potemkin, October, all those early, early films in Russia, revolutionary films. And he is like, he's like credited as inventing the montage. So that like air trine, very analytical, very observant, and the sort of the editing and the social implications of films, not just art, but as like instructional for the revolution. Another interesting person, Jupiter in at the 11th degree of Libra, is Fran Drescher. Thinking of the show The Nanny. So here there's the sort of professorial type. I think he's like a playwright, and the nanny comes in, and she's sort of this wild person who livens up his, you know, button up lifestyle. But there's a lot of like class hierarchy. There's sort of like a gender distinction. I think there's also like a sort of, I'm not really sure, but I think there's like some sort of ethnic distinction of him being a WASP and her being Jewish. I'm not really fully sure. I saw it way back in the day, but I think that's a dynamic of like, or at least people from different social groups, even if they're not different ethnicities. And that sort of thing of being like, well, are you being rational and following the rules of society? And then also like, what's the kind thing to do with someone who's not like you, and respecting their perspective and bringing them into your family, and that sort of thing. Also, John D. Rockefeller had his Jupiter here. And that's interesting because, you know, Bill Gates has his Mars here. So it seems like there's this like, you know, this money, you know, Libra ruled by Venus, there's like money thirst here. I mean, I think that like, you know, Justin Timberlake, Alicia Keys, really rich, I'm sure. But John D. Rockefeller was considered the richest man in American history. He founded Standard Oil. When they broke that up in like 1911, it became 34 separate companies, many of which are still like some of the most valuable companies in the world. Like ExxonMobil and Chevron and stuff. And with all of his money, he funded research for education, for medicine, for science. He funded a lot of the sort of that hygiene for children. I think like things he funded eradicated like hookworm and certain diseases like that. He founded the University of Chicago. So here he is like countless professors being employed there. And then also he is a very religious man. He was born in the burned over district of upstate New York in like 1839. So there's like an education and the sort of belief ideology of sort of professors and pastors or ministers, and it played a huge part in his life. Okay. So Saturn in Saturn at the 11th degree of Libra is, let's see, we have, so Saturn is exalted here. We have Oliver Cromwell, who is a Puritan leader in the English Civil War, and is definitely an exalted cultural and political and military leader. Tegan and Sarah, the songwriting duo, they're sisters and they're both lesbians and very into LGBT advocacy. And Steven Seagal, which I'm not even sure how to interpret him ever, but maybe it'd be interesting to one day. And the most interesting person that stood out for me is a Dorothy Parker. And I found a poem that I feel like sort of adds to the this dichotomy of this degree and really speaks to the sort of Saturn logic, mind, hierarchy, dourness, and then also balancing that out with the Venusian love and kindness. So before I read this, I just want to say I looked up one word that was a little bit unfamiliar. Quondam means former. And just for when that comes in. And this poem is called Symptom Recital. She goes, I do not like my state of mind. I'm bitter, querulous, unkind. I hate my legs. I hate my hands. I do not yearn for lovelier lands. I dread the dawn's recurrent light. I hate to go to bed at night. I snoot at simple, earnest folk. I cannot take the gentlest joke. I find no peace in paint or type. My world is but a lot of tripe. I'm disillusioned, empty-breasted. For what I think, I'd be arrested. I am not sick. I am not well. My quondam dreams are shot to hell. My soul is crushed, my spirit sore. I do not like me anymore. I cavil, quarrel, grumble, grouse. I ponder on the narrow house. I shudder at the thought of men. I'm due to fall in love again. So that's a great little transformative moment. Love her poems. So she also... an interesting thing about her having her Saturn here as an advocate for people who, you know, there's this hierarchy, who people are lower on the hierarchies. She actually dedicated the intellectual property rights after she died. In her will, she made sure that all the money goes to the NAACP. So even today, if you buy a book of hers or anything that, you know, has her IP money, the money actually still goes to the NAACP. So in her legacy, in her Saturnian legacy, she still gives to people who need it, or organizations who are helping people who need it. I highly recommend looking to her if you're unfamiliar. So Uranus, we have Selena, who, a beauty who got, who had a tragic, sudden, unexpected murder. We have Renee Guenon, who described as a French author, traditionalist, and perennial philosopher. We have Nia Long, the actress, Tom Green, Juan Gris, the painter, who he had the Uranus in Libra, 2 degrees above the ascendant. And he's one of my favorite cubists. And I just think of cubism as like taking the ordered beauty of the world and fracturing it. And so I think like his paintings would be a great example of this Uranus and Libra, of all these like disrupted planes. Also, Uranus in Libra, on the 11th degree of Libra, is Fatty Arbuckle. And his Uranus was opposite Mars in the Aries in the 10th house. So he was a silent film star whose career was like suddenly ruined by accusations that he raped and murdered an actress at a party. And so I'm just thinking of the Uranus in Libra, like the sudden legal problem. And he was eventually acquitted from all the charges, but it took him 3 trials. There was 2 mistrials. And it was just a scandal that opposed the 10th house, and it ruined his career, and it overshadowed it really. He was a huge star, and it just was a turn for the worse. Okay. So, Neptune in Libra, in Libra 11th, has some great people. David Bowie and Brian Eno, both very makes beautiful, dreamy music. Stephen King, whose Neptune is near Mercury in the third house and close to the IC. So thinking of, like, he's a writer who works alone and sort of like weaves his magic, his like Neptunian stories and art alone in like the third house, even closer to the IC at home in Maine. Also Steven Spielberg behind the scenes, his Neptune's in the fourth house. And Stevie Nicks. So I love that. It's Stephen King, Steven Spielberg, Stevie Nicks. Also Jane Birkin, who was in Blow Up, Kaleidoscope, and those Antonioni movies, part of like the swinging 60s. Very beautiful and glamorous. That like Libra, that Neptune in Libra has like the beauty and the glamour. Yeah, and she was married to different musicians, the guy who composed the James Bond themes, Serge Gainsborough. And she's also the namesake of the Hermes Birkin bag, which is just like this interesting status symbol. And that's a sort of like Libra, thinking of Libra as this sort of place for expensive cultural items, like like a bag that like a designer bag that costs at least $10,000. Also Ted Bundy is Neptune here. So serial murderer and a rapist. So someone who is deceptive and deceptive to women who he then kills is pretty horrible. I mean, so many people, Patti Smith, Marina Abramović, Grace Jones, Gianni Versace, and Cat Stevens, who has it conjunct the ascendant. So lots of people who are involved in creativity and beauty and have that extra otherworldly Neptunian power and mystery about them. Let's see. And also, Pluto. So I will say this one person I found for Pluto, who I love this example, is Reese Witherspoon. So she's like, I'm thinking of the movie Legally Blonde. It's about a college sorority girl who's obsessed with her looks, like a Libra, obsessed with, you know, cultural niceties. But she aspires to go to Harvard in law school. There's a lot of people who don't believe in her, that don't believe she's actually smart because she likes to do her hair and makeup. But she, despite people not believing her, she gets into Harvard. And I just love that symbolism of both beauty, feminine graces, but also law, higher institutions of society, like schools. And so she's a student in this movie and moves her way up in the hierarchy of learning these Libra pursuits. I think also an earlier role of her in the movie Election, Reese Witherspoon Election, a similar sort of situation with a high school student that has aspirations of being of a political office. She's running for student government. But she's also sort of using her femininity in ways that movie is a little more complicated and definitely great, but she, you know, she's trying to like sleep with her teachers and stuff. So using that, like those feminine wiles and that feminine power and that sort of like that sort of underworld sexual, not even underworld, but like subconscious sexual power, bringing it to this very refined intellectual world. Okay. North node. We've got, two people interesting are John Gotti, who's the boss of the Gambino crime family, who is also very well known for his smooth good looks, and Jesse James, also was supposed to be good looking, but these people who, the sort of, there's a emphasis on sort of that underworld stuff. So people who wanted to get the finer things out of life, but sort of not really doing it in a kind way, doing it in a way with violence. And also Pele, this is conjunct as Mars, I was talking about before. Also John Lennon, who I just feel like famously had those glasses and also had this sort of change of heart. Earlier in his career, he didn't really wear the glasses and as a pop star. And then he met his partner and was influenced by Yoko Ono to be a little bit more high-minded and advocate for peace. So bringing out this like Libra side of him and like looking through these glasses, growing older, embracing the need to use glasses or like bifocals and having more perspective on the world. And the ascendant people, I mean, ascendant's the least, as I've said, the least, least reliable data. But we have Zoe Kravitz, Mikhail Gorbachev, Harry Truman, and Arthur Miller. Arthur Miller, I am particularly thinking of him as a writer and a high-minded person, writing The Crucible about people who had high principles, but whose lives were getting ruined by maybe like jealousy or people who are unkind, as like a metaphor for the McCarthy era. Also thinking about him as a Libra ascendant who fell in love with Marilyn Monroe, who would be the fiery Aries on the other side and the descendant with her Venus and Aries. Okay, well, this is a long one, and happy Mercury retrograde, and see you next time.